Daf is Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, the last Daf of the Masechta. So we got to the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav and Rebbe, the Mishnah at the bottom there. So the Mishnah says, Mechadchin es adiluyim lefnei ha-behema. A person could cut gourds in front of the animal for the animal to eat. And Rashi just points out here, es adiluyim ha-tlushim, that have been already detached from the ground, cut off. Umiyu stamam lav lamaycha behema kaima ela li-adam. Even though typically diluim are set aside for animal, or rather for human consumption, not for animal consumption, and now they're changing it from Meichel Adam and giving it to an animal to Meichel Behema, which would typically be Muksa, it would be Mutter on Shabbos to do so, because this Tanakhama holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds there's no Muksa on Shabbos. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Ves HaNevela, Lefnei HaKlavim, if an animal were to drop dead on Shabbos, or even before Shabbos, the din would be you could give it to the dogs. And Rashi explains here, the Es HaNevela, Shenis Nabla Biyom, if it died on Shabbos itself, Ubein HaShmashos Haisa Omedes L'Adam. Ben HaShmashos, the animal was alive. Now, even though a human could not eat a live animal, it was still Miyuchad to Adam. It was designated to be Shechted at some point after Shabbos for Meichel Adam, and yet Afilu Hachi Rashi is Mechadchin. You'll have to cut it for Behema. So even though something's Meichel Adam, and would be seemingly muksa because Michael to be used for Michael Behema, the Tanakhama allows you to use that which is muksa for Behema because Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon who does not hold of muksa. But Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda in Mishnah says, Omer im lo haisa nevelim erev Shabbos asura. If it was not a nevela before Shabbos, meaning it died on Shabbos, meaning it became muksa on Shabbos, the fish ain't a minamuchan. It wasn't prepared. If it was a nevela already before Shabbos, it was already dead, so it's already designated for Meichel Behema. And that's not muksa. That would be allowed, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But if it died on Shabbos, so that means that it was changed from Meichel Adam to Meichel Behema. That's something that's muksa, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is muksa, and therefore you could not feed it to the animal. So this machlokas in the Mishnah is a very basic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Itmar, quotes a simon, Arel Shachaz simon, Amar Ula. Ula says, Halacha ku Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that there is muksa, and that in this Mishnah, if it was nisnabla on Shabbos, it would be usher to feed to the animals. And we'll read the parentheses, even though we normally don't. Ushmul Amar, Halacha ku Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa on Shabbos. The Af Rav, Savar Halacha ku Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rav held the psak is like Rabbi Yehuda that there is muksa on Shabbos. How do we know? Dezuze, which Rashi explains, Dekarke Dezuze, is machatzalos mehasuyos lesfinos lechasos pragmatia shebesochen. There are some types of, I don't know, covers that they put out, tarps, they put over their merchandise on the boats. Rashi zuze are sfinos, certain types of Aramaic for boats. So it was set aside for merchandise. And the din was, the Gemara says, midekarche dezuze derav aser. Shmuel Shari, this machlokas, whether it's permitted or not, hinges upon whether you pass like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. So we see that Rav did in fact pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's muksa on Shabbos. Ve'af Levi, savar halacha Rabbi Yehuda as well. Kihad Levi, we found that Levi, keva maisi treifasa lakame b'yamatava. When they brought a shaila in front of Levi to know whether this animal that they just shechted was a treif or not, so he should inspect the lungs, so he'd only do it lohava chazile, he would only look at it ela kiyasev al kakalisa, next to the ashma, next to the garbage. Why would he look at it only by the garbage? Because the amar doma lomas kashre, perhaps it's not kasher, and since it'd be treif, it'd be muksa, vafilu klavim lochazi, it wouldn't even be fit for klavim. So if he were to be shown the treif animal in his house, and it were to be treif, it's muksa, so leave it there all Shabbos. So he'd go near the garbage and say, let me look at it here. Oh, it's treif? Just chuck it and put it in the garbage, leave it where it is. But once it was a treif in a different location, you couldn't transfer. Why couldn't you transfer it? Because Levi holds that there is muksa on Shabbos, yantif, like Rabbi Yehuda. Ushmu amar, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel holds that we pasch like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa on Shabbos. Ve'af zi'iri savar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. He also felt that there is no muksa on Shabbos. That's not the Mishnah tells us of a behema. Shemesa, if an animal dies on Shabbos, lo yazizena mimkoma. You can't move it on Shabbos. This is a sugi in Maseches Beis. You can't move it on Shabbos. Now, Ziri comes along and qualifies his statement. He says, V'targama Ziri. Ziri explains, V'behemas kudshim, that's only true of a behema kudshim that died, of a b'chulin shaperdami, but if it was an animal that was a chulin that died, you'd be allowed to. What's the difference between behemas kudshim and behemas chulin? So Rashi explained to the last Rashi on the page here, in Kufnun Vavim Abiz, Targama Ziri, B'maseches Beis, B'behemas kudshim, da'asur b'hanah, v'lochazi l'chulin. the klavim. Since an animal, a kudshim that dies, is not fit for anything, you can't feed a dead kudshim to klavim, it has no purpose, it's entirely muksa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. However, hadchulin, if it's an animal that's chulin that dies, shapir dami lachil klavim, you can move it to feed the dogs. So we see Ziri holds like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa on Shabbos or on Yontif. So Gemara then says further, v'af Rabbi Yochanan Amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan also paskins like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa on Shabbos. So this last statement that Rabbi Yochanan embraces the shita of Rabbi Shimon is challenged by a number of sugyas. The Gemara says, is that really true? Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon? Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does he say this? V'ha Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam misha. We have a klal that was attributed to Rabbi Yochanan that we always pass like a stam misha. If there's a misha and there's no name attributed to it, we pass like that. V'tanan the misha tells us in Maseches Beita, Ein mevakin etim minakoros v'lo minakora shenishbur Rabbi Yomtif. This statement means that when it comes to feeding the fire in Yontif, you could add fuel, add wood to the fire in Yontif, you can't use wood that was from the Karos, which was set aside as muks, a special merchandise meant for building. It's a muks machbas chesron kis. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree that's aser. And also, if it was a korah that broke on Yontif, that too is a problem. Why is it a problem if it broke on Yontif? So Rashi says, v'lo min ha-korah, two lines down on kuf nun zayin, v'lo min ha-korah ha-yishana shenishbur hayom, an old beam that cracked on Yontif. Now you can no longer use it, but you could for building, but you could use it to fuel your fire. Since it was not prepared for firewood, it was only broken on Shabbos and Yontif, so it's usher. So we see this is a stop Mishnah, and says you can't use that which is a muksa. There's such a thing as a muksa on Yontif. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, if in fact there's a stop Mishnah that says we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muksa? And so the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yochanan hahu k'Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda masile. Rabbi Yochanan had a masorah that that particular Mishnah, although it was presented as a stam Mishnah, it wasn't really a stam Mishnah, it wasn't really accepted by everyone, it was really a das yachid, it was really written by Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, so you could completely ignore that Mishnah, and it's not really a stam Mishnah. Next challenge, the Gemara says three lines down, Tashma, it brings him another Mishnah, Maseches Beitza. Maschilin barimas hateven, when it comes to adding to the fire, so you're allowed to take, if there's some tevin, some straw that's in a basket, that's already considered set aside, and that's not muksa, that's allowed to be used for the fire. But if it was trees, wood, etim, that was in the muksa, what's the muksa? So as you get familiar with the muksa, we're going to learn about the area called muksa in Maseches Erevin. So if you look at Rashi to explain what a muksa is, it's not a chefza, it's actually a location. They place it in the backyard area. Their backyards weren't like ours where it was enclosed. They had like forests probably in their backyards. So they placed, the back of the yard, some cut up logs of wood to dry. It was set aside out of their mind. It was considered an area muksa, and that which was maksimidaita was placed in the area. So Rashi says further, muksa rachva shachori batim is behind the house. Shehiksa achori beis, the place in the backyard, lach nisham dvar lozer, it was meant for the storage house, but meant for a long time. It wasn't meant to be used immediately, and therefore it's found in the muksa. So we see from this mishnah, either way, although you could use tevin that was in the arima in some type of basket, you can't use the wood that was in the backyard. Why not? We see this muksa, it's a stam mishnah, and then there is muksa on Shabbos like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, Hasam ba'arzi v'ashuchi, the muksa machmas chesron kis, afilu Rabbi Shimon would be molded. It's a special type of wood. Rashi says it's a male and female type of cedar wood that was set aside for building purposes. Nobody would ever think to waste the cedar trees on fire, and therefore it was muksa machmas chesron kis, where even Rabbi Shimon would agree such a muksa exists. Last challenge from a stam Mishnah against Rabbi Yochanan is found in another Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, Daf Mem, Tashma. Ain mashkin of a shochlin as a midbarios. You're not allowed to give a certain drink to certain animals that were called midbarios that hung out in the deserts, because the reason they give them to drink and make it easy to skin the animal. When you shechted an animal, so if you have them drink something, skinning after the shechita would actually be pretty easy. So on Shabbat and Yontif, you couldn't do this. Ain mashkin v'shochtin es ha-midbarios, aber mashkin v'shochtin es ha-baitos. So midbaros, machlokes, midbaros, and bartos, exactly what they are. But typically, midbaros are animals out in the field, and even though you may have owned them, it was really come back sometimes months later. So it really maksim midaito, but bartos would be animals that would come back each evening, so that was considered within your das, and would not be considered muksa. But we see either way, you can't do this to the animals that are midbaros, because there is muksa on Shabbos, the maksim midaito. So it is the Stam Mishnah, which does accept that there is a concept of muksa against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan, Stam Achrina Ashach. You're right. This last one was actually a Stam Mishnah, and this Stam Mishnah did hold the Muksa, but there's another Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to pass like that held that there was no Muksa. In other words, there are two Mishnahs, there are Stam Mishnahs. One was like Rabbi Shimon, one was like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan passing like the one that held like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no Muksa. Where's that other Stam Mishnah? Beishame Omrim, Magbin Me'al Shulchan Atzamos V'Klipin. Beishame allows a person to pick up the bones and pick up the shells of nuts, even though they're muksa. Beishame does not hold a muksa. Beishilo, who we always pass like omim, misalik es a tabla kula amnari. You have to pick up the table and shake it off because you can't touch the bones, you can't touch the klipos. Therefore, Beishilo does hold a muksa. Now, even though we normally pass like Beishilo, and you would think there should be muksa, should be a problem on Shabbos, Amr Rabbi Nachman, anu ein lanu elo Beishame krebi Yehuda, u Beishilo krebi Shimon. Rav Nachman says we have a tradition that the Beishamai Beis Hillel are actually switched around. You have to be machlif. Who says what? Rabbi Beishamai says you can't move the muksa items, and Beis Hillel says you can use the muksa items. And after switching them around, this mishnah would be like Beis Hillel, that muksa would not be a problem on Shabbos. So Gemara now says, now it should be clear, by the way, when we say there's no muksa on Shabbos, it means in certain cases. But even, everybody agrees there is muksa by muksa, machsa, chesam, kis, in other cases. We're just talking about, generally speaking, are we machmer by muksa or not? So Rabbi Shimon holds, we're not machmer by muksa, but he does agree that certain instances, muksa does actually exist. So now the Gemara says a generic statement about all of Hilchos Shabbos. Pligi bar Rav Acha, Rav Ina. They have a machlokas. Chad Amar, B'chola Shabbos Kula, Halacha Krebi Shimon. We always hold like Rabbi Shimon, Lavar, except for Mimuksa, Machmas, Mius, Umayniu, Ner Yashem. We always hold like Rabbi Shimon. Now, there are three areas where there's Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. One is with regards to Muksa. Number two is with regards to B'lacha Shein Shichla Gufa. And number three is with regards to Davar Shein Miskavit. Those are three main areas, machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara is telling us here that we always passing like Rabbi Shimon, except for muksa machmas mius, something so disgusting, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that would be considered muksa. And that's the example of a ner yashan, a candle that was used with oil on it, the candle holder really, that would be muksa machmas mius, according to how we pass it. The other opinion felt, chad amar, muksa machmas mius, nami lacha Rabbi Shimon. No, even by muksa machmas mias, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muksa, and that's actually mut to be moved on Shabbos. The one exception where we pass in like Rabbi Huda is the bar mi muksa le machmas iser. If something that's muksa machmas iser, something that's muksa because it might lead to an iser, that's where we pass in like Rabbi Huda. And what's an example of that? My new ner shirliku ba bosa Shabbos. The candle was lit on Shabbos, or it was lit before Shabbos, but it remained lit on Shabbos, and then went out, that becomes a muksa machmas iser, that it started off Shabbos as a davar iser because the candle was lit, and that would be a case where we would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That would be the exception. And then finally, even though that's what the different opinion says about muksa machmas chesam kis, when it comes to this area, afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda, he agrees that muksa machmas chesam kis, because of the value of something, because you designate it for a special use, even Rabbi Shimon would agree there would be muksa. It's not, the Mishnah tells us, we saw this like a month ago, kol ha-kelim nitlim Shabbos, you're allowed to move all items, all kelim on Shabbos, with the exception of chutz mi maser gadol, some type of a large peg, yaseid shem acharesha, or a peg used for plowing. These were specialized utensils that are muksa machmas chesam kis, whereby even Rabbi Shimon would agree. But again, overall, we always pass like Rabbi Shimon, legavim mlacha shein tzich legufa, davar shein miskavein, and muksa, with one exception, which is either the exception of muksa machmas miyas, or muksa machmas iser. Now, it should be clear that it's not, the way I presented it is not so clear according to all Rishonim. There is the opinion of the Rambam, who holds, for example, like mlacha shein tzich legufa is actually chayiv, like the position of Rabbi Yehuda. I just gave one of the opinions of how to read this last Gemara before the Mishnah. Okay, let's begin. Let's continue now. The last Mishnah of the Masechta. Mishnah says, "Mafirin nedarim b'Shabbos, minishalom l'nedarim shein l'tzarech Shabbos." So a person ought to be made for a nether. A father's ought to be made for a daughter, a husband able to be made for the nether of a wife. That's called Hafaras Nadarim. And Nishalim is when you go to a Bezdin, you go to a Chacham to be mat to the nether. So the Mishnah says, Mefir Nadarim b'Shabbos, v'Nishalim l'Nadarim she'en l'tzarach Shabbos. The Gemara is going to wonder, when it says l'tzarach Shabbos, is that l'tzarach Shabbos only going on the last statement of She'ela? That She'ela's Chacham of a nether is only permitted l'tzarach Shabbos? But what about Hafara? Hafara of a Baal Tanisha, is that also only permitted to Litzarach Shabbos? Or if that's actually permitted even Shalol Litzarach Shabbos, the Gemara is going to clarify that. So then the Mishnah says further, seemingly unrelated at all, completely unrelated, U'pokiginis ha-ma'or, you're allowed to close up a window on Shabbos, U'modginis ha-malish, you're allowed to measure a rag to see the measurement, whether it's Tamei or not Tamei, U'modginis ha-mikvah, you can measure a mikvah as well on Shabbos, U'maisa b'mei aviv shal Rabbi Tzadok, u'b'mei abba shal ben vitnes shepakiku esa mor betafiach. One time, they actually closed up a hole with some type of pottery. We'll see that Talmaisa, v'kashu esa mikeda b'gemi, and they tied some type of a pot or a plate with a some type of reed. Leida im yesh begigas posech tefach, to see if a barrel had a crack the size of a tefach or not, im lava. Again, this is completely, doesn't make sense until we see what the Gemara is talking about. We learn from their Maisa, Lamanda, we learn Shepokigin, Umodadin, Rakosha Shabbos. A person is allowed to close up a hole on Shabbos, you're allowed to measure for the purpose of mitzvah on Shabbos, and you're allowed to tie a Kesher Sheino Kayama on Shabbos. So the second half of the statement will wait until the very, very last few lines of the Gemara here, but let's talk about the first half of the Gemara, about She'ela and Hafara on Shabbos. So firstly, why would it be usher to do Hafara or She'ela on Shabbos? Why is Hataras Nadarim usher on Shabbos? So there are a few opinions brought down by the Rishon why it would be usher. According to the Ran, it's a violation of Tircha. We know Tircha is usher midirban on Shabbos, so going to a Bezdin, doing an Hafara on Shabbos, that would be a violation of Eksha Tircha. The Prima Gadim says it's a violation of Vedaber Dover, speaking of matters that are not related to Shabbos, it's business related, and therefore he felt to be usher to do Hataras Nadarim on Shabbos. And the third opinion is the Ran in the Maseches Nadarim, Daf Ayin Dain, and he says the reason is because Ein Danin B'Shabbos. You can't judge on Shabbos. The end of Maseches Beit teaches us, so doing Hataras Nadarim would be some form of a Din Torah. So it's either because of Tircha, or because of Vedaber Dover, or because of a Din Torah. Now a big nafkamina would be, let's say it's the Dover Mitzvah, Tzarech Mitzvah, you need to do it for a certain mitzvah, whatever that mitzvah might be, so it depends on what position you take here. So the Acharim argue whether you're allowed to do this for a mitzvah or not. The Marsha says you can't even do this for a mitzvah. However, the Tosefta Shabbos Paskins, you are allowed to do this for a mitzvah. So if you hold the problem is v'daber dover, that's the reason why you can't do a Taras Nadarim, that's only based on the beginning of the Pasuk, mimsochav tsecha v'daber dover. If it's for your own personal matters, it's asur. But if it's a chepsei shemayim l'tzorach mitzvah, then one would be allowed to do a Taras Nadarim or a she'ela of a nether on Shabbos. If it's about tircha, so then it's the machlok is whether tircha l'tzorach mitzvah is permitted. That's the debated amongst the achronim. And if it's about the din Torah, we never allow a din Torah on Shabbos, even l'tzorach mitzvah, and it'll be usher across the board. So this is an interesting discussion based on the reasoning. Now, what comes out even more interesting is the Rosh is a fascinating shaila. How are we allowed to do kol nidre on Yom Kippur? Right, Kol Nidre is a form of Hataras Nadarim. So if the Mishnah says here you can't do Hataras Nadarim on Shabbos or Yom Tov, how is it allowed in Yom Kippur? So the Rosh says it's allowed only if you say it before Shechianu, before you start Yom Kippur. Make sure you don't do Kol Nidre after sun has set. If the sun has set already, it's too late to do Kol Nidre. However, the Rivash says that's only true, it's the only real concern of the Rosh. There's a big machlokis in the Rishonim, why we do Kol Nidre. Is Kol Nidre to undo the past year's Nidarm, it's really a Taras Nadarim, or is it really a Tanai to prevent any future Nidarm? The Rosh felt Kol Nidre was to undo the previous one, it's really a Taras Nadarim, it's Taka Shaila to do this on Yom Kippur. But if you paskin, which is how we normally paskin, that's really to prevent any future Nidarm, that's not Taras Nadarim, it's just making a Tanai that would be allowed to be done on Yantif. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins in Siman Tav Reish Yud Tes that you should say Kol Nidre before Shechianu, before taking Yom Kippur on, and Shabru says it's only a chumrah, because really, since it's only Kol Nidre, it's only to prevent future Nadarim, you really can do this on Yom Kippur. It's just a chumrah ba'ama to say it before Shechianu, but that's the practice. No, it could be interesting. I don't know. I didn't see it discussed. Maybe it would be an interesting angle to see whether that would be any form of tikkun. I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, Ibailuhu hafar bein l'tzarach, bein shalal l'tzarach. So now we're asking the question. The Mishnah said, only that she'ela is only permitted litzarech. But hafara was allowed even shelo litzarech, or that too is only allowed litzarech. So Gemara says, ibaylu, hafara is permitted bein litzarech, bein shelo litzarech. And she'ela is litzarech in, but if it's shelo litzarech, lo, one couldn't do she'ela if it wasn't for a purpose. U'mishim hachi, for this reason, kipakalnu behadade, they separated the two different dinim of hafara as one comment and the she'ela as a separate comment. Odimor, perhaps, hafara nami litzarech in, shelo litzarech lo. Even hafara is limited to only allowed litzarech. The kapaliglu maldadi, and the only reason why they separated as two different comments was because mishim hafara ain tarech bezdin v'sheila tzricha bezdin, because hafara does not require bezdin. A husband can be made for the neder of a wife, and a sheila is only through bezdin. If you just look at Rashi for a second, Rashi says ibaylu hafara the masnisin bein litzarech bein shelo litzarech hashabbos the gavi hafara b'yom shamoksiv v'mlo mefer ha'ina shuv ainu mefer. I mean, there's a bit of an urgency by a hafara. You only have 24 hours, 24-hour clock to work within. And if you miss the opportunity, so then you lost it. She's stuck with that nether unless she goes to do a bezdin, to do a she'ela. A she'ela of a bezdin can be done anytime. There's no limitation. Hafara is only allowed within the first 24 hours. So maybe because of the urgency, even shalola tzarech should be allowed on Shabbos. That's part of the svara. And the next Rashi, v'she'ela l'tzarech in, but shelo l'tzarech lo, we don't allow a non-needed, a shelo l'tzarech Shabbos cannot be done on Shabbos. The yachal l'shal l'machar, you could go to the bezdin the next day, there's no urgency. U'mishim hachi, maflik l'hu me'adadei, v'lo katani mefirin v'nishal l'nadarim shein l'tzarech Shabbos. So this is the different stadim. Now, Rashi points out bezdin doesn't really mean a bezdin, it could be a chacham. Even a chacham, he matir nether, without getting into the various details, but you don't need like a formal bezdin per se. So the Gemara now says, so what's the answer? So when it comes to hafara, do we allow hafara even shelo l'tzarech on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tani Zuti de Beira Papa, Mefir Nadarm b'Shabbos, l'tzarech Shabbos. So we could mebedayek, l'tzarech Shabbos in, but it's shelo l'tzarech ha-Shabbos lo. If it was not needed for some Shabbos purpose, then it would not be allowed, and you have to wait until after Shabbos is over, or go to a bezdin. Lishna Achrina, there is another version of this conversation, Ibailu. Letzarech artavayu katani. When we say letzarech Shabbos in the Mishnah, is it qualifying both the she'ela and hafara? Uvishelo letzarech lo. And if it was not for the purpose of Shabbos, it would be usher to do so. Alma hafaras nadarim me'es le'es. You have a full 24 hours. We're about to see this shaila here. When the Gemara, the pasuk says b'yom shama, when the day you hear it, is that b'yom mean the day until sun sets? Whether you have 24 hours or even if you have 20 minutes, whenever sun sets, it's over. Or does it mean me'es le'es a full 24 hours whenever you had it from? So that's the big shaila. Do we say, if it's shelo l'tzarech, you can't do hafara on Shabbos because you still have time? You still have a full 24 hours from whenever she took the nether, a full meis leis, so it's not that urgent, so you could do it after Shabbos. Oh, Dilma, perhaps the svar is the opposite. Ki katani l'tzarech ashe'ela hu dekatani. Only she'ela is limited to be allowed on Shabbos if it's l'tzarech Shabbos. Aval hafaras nadarim, it's allowed afilu shelo l'tzarech. Why? Al mafaras nadarim is kol yom. Only during the daytime is allowed, but the moment the sun sets, the moment Shabbos is over, hafara is no longer allowed anymore. And since it's really pressing, we would allow you to do a hafara even shelo l'tzarech. In other words, this machlokas whether hafara is allowed shelo l'tzarech or not depends on how do we calculate the time of hafara. Is it a full 24 hours, which gives her more time, or is it just till sunset, even though it might only be 20 minutes to do the hafara? So the Gemara says, Tashma the Tani Rav Zuti Debei Rav Papi. Mefirin Nadarim B'Shabbos Letzarech HaShabbos. So we could do Hafara only Letzarech Shabbos. Letzarech Shabbos in, but Shelo Letzarech Shabbos lo. It would not be allowed if it was not for the purposes of Shabbos. Alma, we see that Hafaras Nadarim is Me'es Leis, because we don't allow Shelo Letzarech, it must indicate that there's more time. Even though Shabbos is over, she still has another few hours until ever the Me'es Leis point hits. And Amar Rav Ashi, Vashi says, don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah appears also in Maseches Beitza. That is not Beitza, this is actually in Nadarim. That Hafaras Nadarim Koayom, you're allowed to do Hafara all day long. What does it mean all day long? The Yesh B'davar L'Hakel U'L'Hachmer. Sometimes this is a leniency and sometimes this is a stringency. How so? Ketzad. Nadra Leile Shabbos Smefer Leile Shabbos V'yom HaShabbos Ad Shetechshach. If she took the nether at nighttime, so you could do hafara that night, or the day afterwards until the dark, until the sun sets. Nadir im chashecha, if, however, she makes the nether im chashecha, mefer ad shelo techshach, he's allowed to do hafara until the sun sets. Shimlo hefer mishachashecha. If he doesn't do hafara before the sun sets, ein yachal lahafer. She can no longer get a hafara. You only have until the dark. So it's clear from this Mishnah that you only have until hayom, until the day's over. So how could we say above that statement of Rav Zuti? He said you have meisleis a full 24 hours, but the Mishnah in Masechet Nedarim says you don't have 24 hours. You have until the sun sets. Sometimes it's 24 hours. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. The Gemara says, you're right, it's really a Tanaihi, it's really a Machlokas Tanaim, how long Hayom lasts for, how do we define Hayom? Desanya, Hafaris Nedarm, Kol Hayom, you have all day, which means until the sun sets, it could be again 24 hours or 10 minutes. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amr, they both held, Meir Sleis, you have a full 24 hours from whenever the Nether was initially taken. Gemara now says, V'nishal L'Nedarm. So you're allowed to do a Sheila for a Nether, Ibarilu, Kishilo Hayilu Panai, Odilma afilo hayela panai. When we said that she'ela letzarach Shabbos is permitted, is that only if he didn't have a chance before Shabbos? So since he didn't have a chance, we let him do this on Shabbos. But let's say he had time before Shabbos, he just was too lazy or whatever the reason was, then he wouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos. He should have done it erev Shabbos. It's his fault. Or no, we allow him to even do a she'ela letzarach Shabbos even in an instance where there was adequate time to do it before Shabbos. He decided not to. He could still go ahead and do a she'ela on Shabbos. So what's the din? So the Gemara says, Tashma de'azdaki kiyei le rabbanon le'rav sutra b'rei de'rav zeri v'shar le'nidareha, that they once needed, they came across some chachamim to undo a nether, v'afogav de'havar le'panai, and even though there was time erev Shabbos to do so, they happened to not look for their rabbis, they found their rabbis on Shabbos, and there was no hesitation at all. So you see, afapi shahayel panai, even though there was time beforehand, it's permitted to go ahead with the she'el on Shabbos only when it's the tzarech Shabbos. So now the Gemara, the rest of the Gemara is going to try to understand the end of the Mishnah, which really didn't make much sense to us, about plugging up a window on Shabbos and tying something with a reed and measuring things on Shabbos. So what's going on here? So the Gemara quotes the last three lines here of Kuf Nun Zayin Amun Aleph. It says, Shepakagu Esam Or B'Tfiach, they plugged the window with a piece of pottery, V'Kashu Esam Makeda Begemi, and they tied the plate with some type of reed. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hilkati Katana Haisa Bena Shnei Batim. Explaining the story, there's a little path between two houses, with Tuma Haisa Sham. Before you turn the page, look at Rashi. Just explains that Hilkati is a Katana, Shvil Katan Bein Shnei Batim, a little path between the two houses. And there's Tuma, there's a mace, a dead body that was between these two houses. And the concern was that that Tuma might now bring the Tuma into the adjacent houses, into the windows. So the Gigas Snuka Munachas Agaban, and there was a barrel that was on top of the mace, and it had a little crack in it, snuka, a little crack in it. So the way Tumah works is that the Tumah, if a Tumah is within an ohel, so let's say there's an ohel, this is all ceiling, so now the Tumahs can't go up, it's blocked, we could go out to the sides. So now this mace is between the two buildings, the two houses, so if it's sealed on top, the barrel's sealed on top, so it can't go up, it's sealed, so it goes to the house on the side. So we're going to see that they plug the holes, the windows, with clay cheris to prevent the tumah from going into the houses. And then they're going to inspect the crack of the barrel on top. If the crack of the barrel is bigger than a tefach, that means the tumah is able to go outside through the tefach. If the crack is smaller than a tefach, that means it won't be able to penetrate through and it stays within it. So they have to close up the holes in the side of the walls of the house so it shouldn't go in that way. So that's what was going on. So let's explain all this now. So he says again, Vigigas Seduka Munachas Agabam, there is a cracked barrel lying on top of the dead body. Upakago Esamur Betfiach, they plug the windows with the Klecheris. Now the Klecheris is something that can be Mekabel Tuma. If it can be Mekabel Tuma, it could serve as a Chatita, therefore it protected the house, it kept the Tuma out. And then what they did was Vakashu Esamakeda Begemi. Now they took a makadeda, some plate that had a measurement, a known measurement of a tefach. They tied a long reed around it. They used it as a measuring to see it. They couldn't reach the top of the barrel, but they were able to extend it. So they put a plate at the end of a reed, a little stick, and they were able to put up there to measure was that crack the size of a tefach or not, in order leida im yesh sham begigas toseach tefach im lav, to ascertain whether or not that size of crack was a tefach or not, to see whether the tumah penetrated through or the tumah remained within the gigas. So the Gemara then concludes, umidireyam l'man, we learn from these words, shepokikin umodadin v'koshim shabbos. So the fact that they allowed to do all these different things, that number one was they were able to plug a hole on Shabbos, we're allowed to plug holes with a barrel or whatever pot you want to use, you're allowed to measure if it's a medida shemitzvah, and you're also allowed to tie things on Shabbos if it's a kesher shena kayama. So the Gemara then says, ula ikle the beresh galusa, One time, Ula visited the house of Reish Galusa, and Chazi L'Rabba Barav Huna, the Yosef Ba'avna Demaya, he was sitting on top of a barrel of water. For Kamashik Leh, he was busy measuring it. So Amrlei, Eimer Damer Rabbanu Medida the Mitzvah. So granted, the rabbi said you could measure if it's a Medida Shemitzvah. Now, Medida Shemitzvah we're allowed to do, such as measuring a mikvah. They have a discussion, Rabbi Elfin mentioned yesterday at the SACM, about measuring for Shishim. Let's say a drop of milk falls into Chult. And we say bit of a shishim, but you don't always know if there's bit of a shishim or not. You have to measure somehow. So is that allowed to be done on Shabbos? So there's a Trumas Hadeshin that says you're allowed to measure b'shishim and be'enav. You could look at it. There's no real way. There's no calculated way to measure how much fell in, but you're allowed to look at it to see to whether the shishim or not. But the Prima Gavin's Medayik only to measure be'enav, but to actually take a measuring tape, to take a scale, whatever else you might want to use, that actually would be usher to do on Shabbos. Why would that be usher on Shabbos? Because by you measuring to calculate whether there's a shisha or not, that's like a tikkun mana. It's like you're fixing something. It's similar to what you were saying by nedarim. Hataras hadarim is a tikkun mana. So by you calculating the shishim, that's a form of tikkun mana that would be usher, says the Prima Gadim. Only by looking be'enav, just measuring from visibility, only that would be allowed according to the understanding of the Prima Gadim. The Chinuch has an interesting discussion about measuring food on Yom Kippur. When a person eats to eat on Yom Kippur, if he's sick, so we give pachas mikashir, pachas mikagogores, from a kokosavis rather. So you're able to measure how much there is. That's also considered a medida shel mitzvah. The Kav HaChaim gives another example. Leil Pesach, people want to measure the matzah, what's kazayis, what's kutu kazayisim, for maror, all these things you're allowed to measure on Shabbos at the Kav HaChaim, it's medida shel mitzvah. The Kav HaChaim says still nonetheless better to measure everything before Shabbos. That's certainly better to avoid any particular issues. And then another discussion they mentioned yesterday as well in the daf and the siyum was measuring, taking a person's temperature on Shabbos. Not using the electrical or the digital ones, that's a violation of other issues, but the mercury ones, the old ones, if you could still find one, could you measure them on Shabbos, use that to measure a person's temperature on Shabbos? Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman both say you can use those on Shabbos for two different reasons. Rav Moshe said you're allowed to. Medida is only when you're measuring something that, you know, that you can actually like feel, like size, volume, area, weight. But this is not measuring anything. It's measuring something that you can't put your finger on. I mean, it's measuring temperature. That's not something of mamashus. Therefore, it's not a classic case of medida. And that's where Moshe felt it was permitted. Rav Shlomo Zalman gave a different reason. The reason why medida is also in general because it's like mekach memchar. You're measuring weights to sell things. But taking temperature has nothing to do with mekach memchar, and therefore he felt it would be entirely permitted. So let's finish off the Masechta now. So they challenged Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. How are you able to measure the water here in the barrel? It's not a medida shemitzvah, only medida shemitzvah. Again, Eimer granted Dami Rabbanan medida de mitzvah, but the la mitzvah, if it's not a mitzvah, me Amar, would they allow for you to do this? Amar lai mesasik ba'amahu. This is mesasik. He wasn't paying attention. He was just like playing with a measuring tape or something, putting his hand in. He wasn't really measuring. And since it's mesasik, we learn from here, it would be entirely mutter to do so, since his intent was not at all to measure anything. They point out that there are two types of mesasiks, because normally we say mesasik is usr. First, mesasik b'shabbos, it's not you're part of from a punishment, but it's usr to do mesasik. You can't just person violating a very picked up a he wanted to pick up I don't know a carrot that was attached on the ground, but accidentally picked up one that was attached to the ground. That's called mesasik. He was osik in something mutter, but he didn't usr. He accidentally picked up a carrot that was attached to the ground. That, although we say you're putter from a punishment, it still is a veira. This, they point out, this is not even a veira here. You're just kind of playing around with a measuring tape, but just playing around with the water, and this would be a misasik that's entirely permitted to do so on Shabbos. Hadr lach, mishihichshich, vashlikalach, maseches, Shabbos, mazal tov. It was a long journey, and this is the second largest masechta, so you guys accomplish a lot. And mitzvah Hashem will start tomorrow, maseches Erevin. Everyone on their own can feel free to say the hadrons. And we'll start tomorrow, maseches Erevin, which of course is one of the hardest masechtas. But Mitzvah Hashem, we made it through Shabbos, we'll make it through Erevin as well. It's a type of part of the weaving thing. It's something that moves back in your... Yeah, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara says, actually.
Why was it necessary to measure the Sedek?
Yeah, I'm not sure why. They actually were trying to cover all their bases, it seemed. At first, like, they wanted to measure it, but just to be safe, they first plugged the holes, it seemed. And maybe they wanted to remove the holes probably afterwards, maybe to get some light in or air in maybe. So first they protect themselves. They measure it. If there's a tefach, oh, now the tumah's going there. Let's take out the plugs from the window maybe.
Before he died, he was Gosset, right?
Yeah. They saw him dying, so he wanted to measure everything quickly. So right. They first protected the houses.
If he died, there's no point.
It's too late at that point.
It's too late to go.
Right. There's a sugya, however, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If a person had a mind that they're going to take the tumah out a certain way, he might be able to protect it. Unclear if it works l'mafreya or not. I think the Gemara ended. It sounds like it works l'mafreya. I think the Gemara ended up challenging l'mafreya, but there's something related to that. But I think that would be the answer. Maybe they wanted to take them out of the house, out of the windows, to open up the windows, but they wanted to first protect themselves.
So we know that Rav Shimon, right, about the
mutz. Yeah.
So mutz mafka means, is that a personal thing or is that a general thing?
I'm not sure.
Something,
yeah.
Is not mal,
because... Yeah. I'm not sure if it's subjective or objective. I don't know.